This is Ask Hank, where Hank Hanegraaff, the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, takes 3 minutes to further equip you to defend your faith.
Jason, listening in Illinois. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling about repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 7, verse 14 through 25 fits me to a T. And I'm trying to figure out where Paul was coming from. And it's kind of hard to say that I'm saved or not saved. I don't know. But I'm just trying to find an answer to try to battle this this sin that I struggle with. And I was just calling you to maybe you can help me out.
Well, the wonderful thing about this is that you're struggling with sin. You care deeply about offending God. And that is a mark of a genuine Christian who recognizes that he is a sinner, that he has repented from his sin. But that does not mean you're not going to struggle with sin. Even though Christ is Lord and Savior of your life, you will yet struggle with sin. And I think that the passage you point to is very appropriate, where Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Now, that's not a statement that's meant to escape moral responsibility, but it is a statement that underscores the powerful lure of sin, a sin that even the Apostle Paul struggled with. It is a struggle, and there's going to be a day in which you'll forever be able not to sin, but in the meantime, you are snow-covered dung. You're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but you are yet a sinner and will struggle with sin until the day that you die. Now, it is true that as you get to know and love Christ more and more nearly and dearly, you are sanctified. You become more and more like Christ. But if Paul is our exemplar, I think the idea is the closer you get to the radiance or the brilliance of his holiness, the more we see just how sinful we are in the light of his glory and grace, and it reminds us how much we need him for salvation, but it doesn't preclude the idea that we're saved.
For more Ask Hank episodes, or for the full Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as many other resources to defend the truth of the gospel, visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. Do you have questions about the Bible, cults, the occult, world religions, or other related topics? Have you ever been stumped by something that appears to be a contradiction in the Bible? Then you've tuned to the right place. Coming up in just a few minutes, you can hear your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a production of the Christian Research Institute, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide Christians worldwide with carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers, information to encourage them in their faith and equip them to intelligently represent it to people influenced by ideas and teachings that assault or undermine Orthodox biblical Christianity. For further information or to search our vast library of resources, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. We do what we do because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his closing benediction, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Five books of John provide you with a majestic tapestry of the whole of redemptive history. And to help you understand each of the five books of John even better, I personally voiced compelling introductions to each of John's five books. And I make no more certain promise than this. If you listen to the five books of John over and over again, it will be transformational in 2014. The producer, the director, the person whose brain thrust all of this came through is, as I mentioned, a very good friend, Carl Amari. He's an actor, he's a director, he's a deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ, and I just appreciate everything that he's done in putting this product together. Many of you will remember the entirety of this project was enormous, both with respect to the Old and New Testament, but this is a unique rendering which Carl Amari allowed us to put together and which we are now offering to you to start your 2014 in a way such as none other. And Carl Amari joins us now. It's always good to have you on the broadcast, Carl.
Hi, Hank. Great to be here. Thank you so much.
This was your brainchild. Tell me about it.
Well, I happen to be very good friends with Jim Caviezel, who starred in a movie I think we all have seen, Passion of the Christ. And I was happened to be on the set visiting with Jim when he was making that movie in Rome. And I just was so completely taken in about this movie and Mel Gibson's vision for it and Jim's portrayal of Jesus in the last hours of his life. And I said to myself, you know, I've listened to audio Bibles in the past, and there's never been one that was dramatized with wonderful actors. They're generally just one reader. And I just, it just hit me. I mean, I think it was just God working through me. And I feel like, you know, it's his glory, all his glory, but he helped me to convince Jim to star as Jesus in an audio Bible, his voice, as opposed to, you know, speaking in the Aramaic language he was speaking in. It's in English, obviously. And he plays Jesus in this full drama of the Bible called The Word of Promise.
I was listening to it in the car, Five Books of John, which I'm so excited about. We so often hear about the five books of Moses, but the five books of John, I think perhaps the most majestic linguistic tapestry I've ever tapped into. And to hear them all together from the beloved disciple, replete with the sound effects and the voices of actors who really know the art of drama, the pregnant pause, the ability to communicate this in spellbinding fashion, I think is significant.
Right. I mean, you know, you said I couldn't have said it better. I mean, it's when you get actors like this, Academy Award winning type actors like the Richard Dreyfusses of the world and the Lou Gossett Juniors, you know, and Lou Gossett is John on this, and you hear Jim as Jesus, and you hear Michael York narrating, and you hear sound effects that are all created, and the music created for each scene like a movie. It brings it to life. And so when we got together, you and I, and talked about, and Paul Young, and we talked about the five books of John, I got very excited because it is such important books of the Bible. And to have them all with your introductions, which really add so much clarity to what's going on when, you know, you first you hear you explaining it and then the five books of John, it really is an incredible blessing.
Carl, talk for a moment about the whole issue of being there, as it were, on scene. When you're listening to it, as I was in the car today, that's the sense I got. I was there as John was showing the way for Christ.
You know, it was my intention, and I thank you so much. And it was, you know, when we got together with the theologians and the director, Joby Cerny, it was pretty apparent to me, you know, we go to church every Sunday and, you know, or more than that during the week. And we listen to, the words of our God. And it's through people that are saying it now. But what about if we could hear them say it back then? So our mantra and our mission was to put these actors in the setting with the theologians that were on the phone or in the studio with the actors and explain who they were. So with, let's say, an actor like, John Rhys-Davies, you know, playing the part of, or Solomon or whoever it was. And we said, this is what you're all about. This is what you were doing at this time. This is what was going around you. And this is what this means. So it's quite different when you have an award-winning actor that is put in the situation and can deliver those lines as if they were said the very first time.
As always, I appreciate your work and your contribution to the body of Christ. I think this is one of the most outstanding products ever developed, and we're deeply grateful to you and look forward to putting this into the hands of many, many people.
I thank you, Hank, very, very much. It's such a pleasure to work with you. And hello, everyone out there listening to the Bible Answer Man show. Thank you so much.
And there you have it, Carl Amari. He's an actor. He's a director. He's a deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ. I love Carl, and I love what he's put together, and I'm very grateful that he's allowed us to put together this very unique CRI project. This is something I had a passion for doing. Again, the contrast to the five books of Moses in the Old Testament. The five books of John are absolutely riveting. And you're hearing the life of Christ, and in fact, you're hearing an overview of all of biblical history in compressed fashion. Four CDs, again, available to the people who are listening in right now, those who are supporting the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift. Just delighted to send you the Word of Promise, Five Books of John audio Bible. At some point in time, we'll give you some hint of what this sounds like, but this is an absolutely extraordinary resource, and again, delighted to have put this together. It's the Christian Research Institute edition. You'll find it nowhere else, and you can get your copy by simply going to the web at equip.org or writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. First up today, we'll talk to Ken. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. And actually, what you're just talking about on those five books of John, that's really kind of interesting. I've been wanting to upgrade my knowledge of the Bible this year. Not like a New Year's resolution, but I always try to improve myself. That seems like something that would be good for me. But my question is, on an earlier program, you were talking about one of the callers that had called in. They talked about the sons of God going into women, and you kind of mentioned that literally didn't happen. And I understand that angels, you know, don't have those type of body parts. However, it was pretty clear, at least it reads pretty clear, that's what they're talking about. So can you clarify that for me, please?
Yeah, well, remember that Genesis chapter 6 is not some kind of condemnation of demon-human hybrids. It is a condemnation of sinful humanity who are therefore destroyed by the flood. So I think the better interpretation is that the sons of God refers to the godly descendants of Seth and the daughters of men to the ungodly descendants of Cain, and their cohabitation causes humanity to fall into such utter depravity that God says, I will wipe humankind whom I have created from the face of the earth. Again, there's no indication in the text whatsoever that a hybrid between humans and demons is involved here. And I think that it's important to recognize that this theory prompts serious questions about the spiritual accountability of hypothetical demon humans and their relation to humanity's redemption. Because angels rebelled individually, and they were judged individually, and they were offered no plan of redemption in Scripture. But on the other side of the equation, humans fell corporately in Adam, they're judged corporately in Adam, and they're redeemed corporately through Jesus Christ. So there's no biblical way of determining what category the demon humans would fit into, whether they would be judged as angels, whether they'd be judged as men, or more significantly, whether or not they were even among those for whom Jesus Christ died in the first place. But even beyond all of that, as I've said many times on this broadcast, demons are non-sexual, they're non-physical beings, and therefore they're incapable of having sexual relationships and producing physical offspring.
So when they're saying that the sons of God, they're not necessarily talking about the sons of God. You're talking about demons.
No. The whole point is that the interpretation says that the sons of God means fallen angels or demons cohabiting with the daughters of men. So the idea is fallen angels had sex with women. That's the interpretation. That's the wrong interpretation. The children of Israel, by the way, are called sons of God in Hosea 1:10. So words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. Only in pagan superstition and in mystery religions do you have this notion of demons having sex or angels or gods having sex with women. You don't find that in Christian theology. So that's a interjection of pagan, or maybe another way to say it, an imposition of pagan mythology on Christian theology.
Okay. Now, on your books, I know you've written quite a bit of books, but just starting out, which one of your books, I mean, and I'm not, you have a bunch of them, but which one can I get the biggest bang for my buck?
Yeah, I mean, I really love Has God Spoken, because it not only gives you a way of demonstrating the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but it answers the attendant question, if God has spoken, what has God said? And it gives you the way of understanding how to read the Bible for all it's worth, okay, or how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. But another book that has been very, very helpful to people over the years is the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is to say it is a compendium of answers that I've given over the years on all kinds of questions, including the question that we're discussing right now.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, blessings, Ken. Thank you so much for your call back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Noah next in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Noah.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I had a question about middle knowledge, and I was wondering if you, because it kind of sounded like on some of the programs that you were expounding that belief, and I was wondering, do you hold to that, and if you could explain what it is?
Well, I'm not diametrically opposed to it, but it's called middle knowledge because in the system in question, it sits between God's natural knowledge, which is to say the knowledge of all necessary and possible truths, and God's free knowledge, the knowledge of the actual world he chose to create. There you get the idea of middle knowledge. It's sitting between those two concepts of knowledge. The basic idea is that God knows what a free creature would do in any circumstance logically prior or foundational to his decree to create anything at all or anything to begin with. And in its inception, it was argued that God's knowledge is ordered such as to allow for the possibility of human free will, and from his knowledge, he chooses to create free creatures. So that's the basic idea. It's not an idea that I have been a great champion of, but certainly it's a plausible idea.
Okay. I seem to have a problem with it because it sounds to imply that there are multiple universes that God created or could have created, and he picked the best one that would comply to man's free will and his plan. Like there was a million different outcomes, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's one way of communicating it, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, I hold that we have a genuinely sovereign God, and he can affect his own purposes through genuinely free creatures. In other words, he doesn't have to work with a stack deck. But I think in the debate in general, what needs to be kept in mind is the sovereignty of God. It should never be tarnished or minimized in any way. The justice of God, and then genuine human culpability. Be right back.
This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to draw you closer to our risen Lord this new year. Called The Five Books of John, this state-of-the-art dramatic audio theater presentation gives you a glimpse of the life and teachings of Jesus through the eyes of his most beloved disciple. So please, request your 4-CD set of The Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled Five Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. Five Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4-audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis, the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor, what cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language, don't all religions lead to heaven, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From John's opening brilliance, In the Beginning Was the Word, to his final Amen, the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast.
So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Jim Caviezel, Louis Gossett Jr., Kimberly Williams Paisley. These are some of the all-star actors who lend their voices to the dramatic audio presentation, 5 Books of John. This unique and transformational resource will encourage and inspire you to draw closer to the Lord in 2014. And it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4 CD set of the 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Call us at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll get right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jerome in Duluth, Georgia. Hi.
Hello, Dr. Hanegraaff. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Just Hank's. Just fine.
That's
Thank
good.
You.
I just want to say, first and foremost, you've made a huge impression on me as a teenager. My father used to listen to you when I was in Maryland.
Oh, wow.
My question is, sir, I say the last few months during the time of the 2013 year, I've just been kind of struggling a bit and trying to understand God's will for my life and just trying to figure out if there's a calling on me, not to over-spiritualize it, as one person put it to me, but if there's a calling for me or if there's something, if God is leading me into ministry. Recently, I went to a Christian apologetic conference in October, and whenever I listen to different things from Ravi Zacharias and other apologetic readings from William Lane Craig to just other theologians reading A.W. Tozer, listening to my own pastor preach and teach, it's just very encouraging to me, and I'm always in awe of how God has used men and women, men like you and these other great men, Holy Spirit-led men, in ministry. And so I guess I'm just trying to constantly grow in understanding, you know, when you were becoming a minister, an apologist, defending the faith, how did you, in a sense, know, or were there some kind of guidelines that you kind of saw spiritually that would that kind of let you know that you were making a godly decision in becoming a minister for the Lord?
Yeah. Well, remember that all of us are called to the ministry. So it's not a matter of whether you're called to the ministry. It's whether you're doing ministry as God has called you to do. All of us are called to be ministers of the gospel. We're all called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, making his way and his will plain. Now, some people also are called to work in ministries, so they're to exercise their gift in that way. But I would say that it's important to recognize that whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, you need to, within your sphere of influence, communicate what you believe and why you believe what you believe. But there are others that, in my particular case, I had a real passion, as you described your passion, for apologetics. As I witnessed, I ran into people that asked me questions and I didn't know how to answer them. So I wanted to find an answer to satisfy them. And in fact, I, in my own conversion, had so many issues I struggled with. Did God really create the universe? Or is the evolutionary paradigm something that corresponds to reality? What about the resurrection? Can miracles like resurrection really take place? Or is the Bible the only infallible authority for faith and practice? So I struggled with those questions, and in struggling with those questions, recognized the struggle later on in other people. And because I had satisfactorily answered those questions for myself, I now felt equipped to do that for other people as well. So, you know, God led me then through people and circumstances to be able to apply that in the context of a ministry. And I don't want to say full-time ministry, because we're all in full-time ministry wherever God has planted us, but within the context of an organization like the Christian Research Institute.
I really appreciate that, sir. And I was just wondering, when is a person starting out and trying to understand where God is leading them, or in my case, where God is leading me, like you were saying, you were just very interested in apologetics and things of that nature. I'm trying to see what books or what authors really played a huge part or influenced you greatly.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the men that you mentioned are all wonderful, and I think you're listening to wonderful examples of people highly skilled in the art and science of apologetics. So I think you're on a great track there. In my own personal experience, I was very influenced by Dr. D. James Kennedy, because I saw in him a man who had memorized so many different things. First of all, memorized the Bible, but also memorized great quotes from men throughout history who loved the Lord and served the Lord. And I was intrigued with his ability to use language in a powerful way. And so he had a tremendous influence on me just listening to him as a young believer. And also, he was very concerned that Christians would learn to communicate the gospel, what they believed. And as a result of that, I went out and not only learned to communicate the gospel, but learned to train others to communicate the gospel so that they could become reproducing disciple makers, not just those that caught fish, but taught others to catch fish as well. That had a tremendous influence on me early on. So to this day, I think memorization is just one of the most powerful tools that all apologists ought to have in their arsenal, which is to say they ought to steep themselves in memorization and find ways in which they can memorize information quickly and then recall it when necessary. That's really what allowed me to do what I'm doing today. It's the art and science of memory. And again, it's an art and a science. It's a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at them.
Yes, sir. Well, Dr. Henry Grave, I really appreciate you, and thank you for your time, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you, and may God richly use you in ministry, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Kathy in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Bod Radio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
You had a caller on who asked if talking in tongues was the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I listened to your question or to your answer. However, I have a lot of family that are Pentecost. I do not go to a Pentecostal church, but I have attended a lot of Pentecostal church and prayed individually with my family members. And sometimes they will go off on speaking something that I do not understand at all. And I was just wondering, I mean, it's not another language like what, you know, like what in Acts, they were speaking actually other languages so people would understand them. But what is this something that's biblical? What is this that they're,
I don't think it's ever biblical. Even if you argue that this is a distinct gift that you have, where you can praise God in a language that you yourself cannot comprehend, if you argue that that's a normative gift today, I don't think it ought to be used in public, because in public, you want to edify the other person or the other persons that are present. And if you look at the delineation of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you see that when tongues are interpreted within the context of the body, then there is a blessing for the body. But if they're not, people will think that you're mad. So if they're interpreted, they can become of the same value as a prophecy. Not a prophecy in terms of foretelling the future, but a prophecy in terms of forthtelling, strengthening, edifying, equipping, encouraging the body of Christ. So I don't think that practice should ever be used, even if one would argue that it is normative and it is biblical to do so today, it shouldn't be, on the basis of the Bible, practiced in public.
Because they even prayed on me to try to get me to speak, quote, in tongues, and that didn't happen. But will these people still go to heaven? I mean, even though they do this in the wrong way?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, while I would disagree with a Pentecostal who says that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and say to them, look, at best it could be a evidence, but to say that it is the evidence goes beyond Scripture, I would never make that the basis for breaking fellowship. I would debate that vigorously with gentleness and with respect, but I wouldn't divide over that issue. To do so, I think, would be divisive. So again, I think this is a secondary issue, not an unimportant issue, but nonetheless a secondary issue that we can debate vigorously and still have fellowship.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Brian, Syracuse, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. First, I want to say I need help.
Okay.
And I want to say that I'm a monthly supporter.
Oh, wonderful.
And that I even give in those times when, you know, you reach out and ask for extra help. So I'm saying that to say that I trust this ministry.
Mm, thank you.
And that I need answers concerning something that I've read. I was on Facebook, and I ended up getting into a conversation. I didn't realize I was in a group conversation. I was just answered a question about God, put my two cents in, and I just got a plethora of people just responding and asking me, how do you know this? How do you know that? And it's like really challenging.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up being that the one that headed this post was an author. And it went on for a couple of days, and he asked me to get his book to read it and tell me what I thought. And I've come to this place where he talks about, I don't know if you ever heard of Mithraism, Mithraism.
Sure, yeah.
And it talks about Horus and Attis of Pergia and Zarathustra and Krishna. And he was saying how all these gods, and I'll read a little some, Krishna out of all these that bear similar attributes shares the most, almost as if he and Jesus are one and the same. The only problem is Krishna predates the Jesus story by 3,000 years. If it were just one, I would have dismissed the notion, but history has it that this story has been produced and reproduced in part, in its entirety, time and time again. After doing your own research on these deities that predate Jesus, it would be very difficult to dismiss the similarities as of mere coincidence. And he was saying how all these gods before the writings of Jesus or Jesus' story, that it was mimicked by all these other gods before Christ arose. Can you tell me how? Can you explain this to me?
Sure. Yeah, well, first of all, the alleged similarities as well as the terminology that is used to communicate them are greatly exaggerated. And I would say very quickly as an aside here as well that Krishna was polytheistic, believed in many gods. Christians are monotheistic. We only believe in one God. But the mystery religions in general are syncretistic. Adherents not only worship various pagan deities, but also frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions while continuing to worship within their own cultic constructs. But Christians were ones who singularly placed their faith in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I want to hold you over because you ask a multifaceted question, and I don't want to deal with it in a cavalier fashion. So if you can hang on through the break, I'll pick you up in just a moment.
To help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year, we want to send you the unique and transformational Five Books of John audio presentation. Utilizing all-star acting talent to present the life and teachings of Jesus through the words of his most beloved disciple, this resource will draw you closer to our risen Lord. So please request your 4-CD set of 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Call us at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final "Amen," the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, 5 Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's 5 books to help you understand them even better. 5 Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal: Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the Unreasonable Effectiveness of Mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled 5 Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. 5 Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. 5 Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. In 5 Books of John, an all-star list of actors present the writings of the Apostle John, the most beloved disciple of Jesus, like you've never heard them before. This state-of-the-art dramatic audio presentation will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year, and it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4-CD set of 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and I want to go right back to Brian. We're talking about the alleged similarities between the mystery religions and Christianity. And Brian, as I was communicating, the prevailing myth communicated in books like this is that there are great similarities between Christianity and the mystery religions, but purveyors of that mythology are employing biblical language and then going to great lengths to concoct commonalities. And I'll give you an example. It is said that there are great parallels between the resurrection of Osiris and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but that's an obvious stretch. And for the mysteries, that's about as good as it gets. And then there's this whole idea that the mysteries predate Christianity and Christianity then borrows from the mysteries. But in reality, most of the mysteries flourished long after the completion of the Christian canon. So the whole idea of the mystery religions preceding and then Christianity borrowing from it is just wrong from a chronological perspective.
Okay, so for instance, he said that there was the Sumerian library that contains over 22,000 tablets, was considered to be the oldest writings on the planet, that they predate the Bible by 4,000 years. Is that a lie?
Well, no, I mean, but that's not the issue. I mean, this is a great example of obfuscation. How does that in any way, if you take something that predates the Bible and then you use biblical terminology and you concoct these similarities, how does that in any way disprove the Bible or suggest that the Bible is borrowing from the mystery religions? I mean, if you look, for example, I'll give you another example, and this is corrupted flood accounts. So corrupted flood accounts don't disprove the Bible. They simply augment what you find in the Bible. One of the classic examples is the Epic of Gilgamesh. Well, the Epic of Gilgamesh talks about a great flood, just like the Bible talks about a great flood. Well, if you look at what the Bible communicates with respect to the flood, it corresponds to reality. If you look at what the Epic of Gilgamesh communicates with respect to the Great Deluge, you find that it doesn't correspond to reality. So they both have perhaps a common source, which is a real flood. But one is viewed through the opaque lens of paganism. It's distorted and incorrect. The other is a correct account of the flood that corresponds to reality. When I say it corresponds to reality, you take the shape of the cube of the ark described in the Epic of Gilgamesh, it's not even seaworthy. But if you look at the ark as described in the Bible, you can look at modern engineering parameters and see, wow, this is very suitable for a great deluge. So one corresponds to the reality, the other doesn't. And this is true, not just in the detail I gave you, but in all the fine details in the text.
Okay. Well, you know, I was just concerned. You know, it's funny. As I was reading it, I looked at the time. I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I can quickly call. My thing was, if it is true that these gods was predated, you know, the Bible, that, you know, it's like, how did they get this information and know that this was going to be, you know, the model for our Christ? And then, you know, I'm saying to me, you know, of course you can't believe everything you read, and I know that. But so what you're saying is that these didn't predate the Bible.
Well, first of all, I'm not saying it didn't predate the Bible, and it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, I can find all kinds of things, and that's why I gave you the example with respect to the Epic of Gilgamesh or the Epic of Atrahasis or the even older Eridu Genesis. If you find out that they predate the actual biblical account, the account still, in both cases, whether you find it in Eridu Genesis or you find it in the book of Genesis, both of them are talking about something that actually happened. One is a correct account, the other is an incorrect account. One views reality through the lens of paganism, the other through a biblical worldview, and that makes all the difference in the world. Because at the end of the day, the mystery religions reduce reality to a personal experience of enlightenment. If you look at the Bible and what you find in the Bible, you find something entirely different. It is based on history and evidence. And that's why Luke says he carefully examined all these things to see if they were in fact so. So one is through a lens of where you're worked in an altered state of consciousness because the mind is seen to be the obstacle of enlightenment. The other is a rational religion that corresponds to reality. So the worldviews are diametrically different. To say that one borrowed from the other when they have little commonality and you have to change the terminology so it sounds like they have commonality is a stretch. And this is precisely what's taking place with respect to those who say Christianity borrowed from the mystery religions.
Okay. Well, okay, and forgive me, maybe I'm a little slow. I want to ask this one last question.
Sure.
Concerning this. And Krishna, so I've just remembered that and hearing that name before. And it says here that he was claimed to be born via immaculate conception. He was called both God, Son of God. He was sent from heaven, called the Savior. Krishna, like Father Jesus, was also a carpenter, visited birth of wise men, shepherds, fasted in the wilderness, was tempted 30 days, claimed himself to be the resurrection, and the list goes on and on, crucified and resurrected. And he says that Krishna predated Jesus' story by 3,000 years. Is that a lie?
Well, what you have here is you take similarities between the two, then you use biblical language to convey the similarities, and then you are underscoring the similarities as being greater than they actually are. Let me give you just a couple of basic points here. First, and this is a point that I've already made, but I think it's really an essential point, and that is, unlike the mystery religions, Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. So if you look at what you find in the Bible, it corresponds to reality. Even the details that you find in the Word of God, people, places, particulars, through archaeology, they've been demonstrated to be real, correspond to reality. The second point I'd make is this: of all the influential religious leaders of the world, and that includes Buddha and Krishna and Moses and Zoroaster and Muhammad and so forth, only Jesus claimed to be God in human flesh. And that turns out not to be an empty boast, because through historically verifiable fact, you can demonstrate that the reality of the resurrection is not blind faith, but faith founded in evidence. And then finally, Christianity is unique in that it's a coherent belief system. It's a structure that's coherent. Some Christian doctrines may transcend comprehension, but unlike the claims of the mysteries, they're never irrational or contradictory. And Christianity, of course, is also unique in that it cogently accounts for a vast array of phenomena that we encounter in everyday life. The human mind, the laws of science, the laws of logic, ethical norms, justice, love, meaning in life, and so much more. The problem of evil and suffering, the issue of truth. So Christianity corresponds with the reality of our present conditions just as it corresponds with that which was true in the past. But regarding Krishna that you brought up, you mentioned he was born of a virgin. Well, Krishna was not actually born of a virgin, but born of a woman who already gave birth to 7 sons. And again, other alleged parallels to Jesus are also suspect. So there are many different ways in which this has been highly exaggerated or fabricated.
You know, I've been a Christian since 89 and been very solid in my faith to teaching others and being a good witness. And, you know, just the last couple of weeks I've been shook. And, I know I'm going to come out of this victorious. I just have questions, you know, and I'm glad you had some answers for me.
Well, let me say something about this, and I think it's an important point to make. So often we think of apologetics as pre-evangelism, God using our well-reasoned answer as an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. But it's also post-evangelism in the sense that these answers become pillars and posts that we can cling to when winds and waves of doubt beat upon the door of our house. So I think the 3 great truths are the ones that you want to get rooted in your mind. Number one, you can demonstrate that God created the universe. If you have a sun, there has to be a sun maker. If you have 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars, you know intuitively that that didn't just happen. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. Secondly, we can demonstrate that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Again, not something we believe in blind faith, but rather faith founded on irrefutable fact. And we see Paul, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, making an airtight argument for that, saying Jesus suffered final torment, the tomb was empty. As I said many times, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. He appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And as a result of that, scattered disciples were transformed into lions of the faith. And then, finally, you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Getting those three great apologetic issues rooted in your mind become pillars and posts that you can go back to over and over again. God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, demonstrated he's God through the resurrection, and the Bible is the infallible repository for faith and practice.
Yes, and you know, I appreciate these encouraging words. I got scared the last couple of weeks because I started feeling my foundation start to crumble, and I knew I had to reach out to someone who could encourage me, and I appreciate you spending the time, and I feel the genuine sincerity in you trying to really win a brother back who's wavering, and I appreciate that.
Well, it is my honor, and I enjoyed speaking with you, Brian. And what I'd like you to do is hang on, because we have some materials we can send you so you get the information in written format as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure, and God bless you. I mean, these are things through which you will ultimately grow strong. I've had many questions in my life that have shaken me and shaken the foundations of my faith, but being able to go back to the pillars and cling to those pillars has meant the world to me. And then seeing over time that there are always good answers buttresses your faith and allows you to do the same for someone else. I mean, you're not going through this for naught.
There'll be someone else that you can help in the future as well.
Yes, and I know that to be true. I've called many times, and there's been times I didn't understand what you said to me, and I had to listen back and listen to it 3-4 times, and then I'm like, oh, I understand what you're saying. So I appreciate you sending me in written form, because then I'll learn more from it.
Bless you, Brian. Appreciate you calling. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis, the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor, what cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language, don't all religions lead to heaven, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final Amen, the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history.
and to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your four audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org.